Good morning. It's great to have you guys here this morning. If you haven't already, I want you to pull out your life point outline, if you will. As I said, it's great to have all of you here. Those of you that are watching online, it's always a joy to see the number that are joining us from their homes, and we're grateful that you are here. This morning, I want to talk to you something very, very important. I want us to focus and think about God's timing. I'm talking about God's timing in our lives. And so if you notice, the title of the message this morning is God's Time and Your Time. And if we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, and the New Living Translation says, for everything, there is a what? A season. There is a time. There is a time for every activity under heaven. So let me just start off. I've got a truth that I want you to notice, and if you'll just pay attention to that. Most of the stress, the regret, and the misery in our lives comes from poor timing. And whosoever phone that belongs to, you realize it, right? Just of all the time for my phone to go off, right? So thank you for muting them. Stress, regret, and misery. My life and your life. It's all about poor timing. Doing the right thing at the wrong time can be disastrous. The difference between a great leader and a poor leader isn't just knowing what you need to be doing, but when. To know what you need to do and when. And I have realized that the time of my transition has come, and that it's time for the hill to embrace her next pastor. There are two instructions that I want to give you guys this morning, those of you that are watching online. Number one, I want to share with you God's leading regarding my successor here on the Hill. And then number two, I want to just delve into, for the remainder of the time together, the truths that God has just worked into my life these last several months that I believe you can use for your own personal life, because they're like universal. There comes a time in all of our lives where God says it's time for a change. And we need to be sensitive to that. And the key to a joyous future is saying yes to it and doing it at God's time. I've told you that God has made it clear to me that my time in serving Him as senior pastor here on the Hill is drawing to a close. And I want to assure you from everything within inside of me, I would not be stepping aside. I would not be taking this step from this labor unless I had the ultimate conviction in my heart that this was the leadership of the Father. One of the Lord's primary ways of revealing to me what His will was for my life was in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. Let me just read that to you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and He said, from the age of 50 years, the Levites, and He's talking specifically about the priesthood. The priesthood came out of the Levitical tribe. And so He's talking about the priests in the tabernacle and ultimately those that would be in the temple. And God said, this is what I want you to understand. From the age of 50 years, the Levites shall withdraw from the duty of the service in the temple and serve no more. And then He says, they minister to the brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Well, I already passed 50 years of age. Now, in this particular time, life was a lot harder, a lot more difficult. And so, you know, if you did the wrong thing in the tabernacle, in the temple, that could be the end of your life. And so it was very important you didn't make any mistakes, especially when you were dealing with the Holy of Holies. But I have served now for 50 years at the Lord's service. But here's what I want you to understand. The overriding insight from Scripture to me, which is what I needed, I've held so much to this position, seeking to be faithful to it, Catherine and I both. But God has shown that there is a God-appointed time when the Spirit of God will lead his pastors to prepare the church for her successor. So this morning, I want to share three exciting items with you. Number one, the elders' recommendation for the next man to serve as senior pastor here on the Hill. Number two, the details of the timeline of my transition. And number three, my future role, that of Catherine and I here on the Hill. And I'm excited to announce to you and from the bottom of my heart that your elder team is officially recommending to you Pastor Todd Kaur for the role of senior pastor here on the Hill. From the very beginning, when God made it clear to me that my time was drawing to a close, not in serving him, but in serving him in this capacity, my heart and my mind and my focus automatically went to Todd. So I went to him and I kind of laid that bombshell on him. And I said, I want you to pray about something for me. I want you to pray about being my successor here on the Hill, that I could put your name forward. I could tell by the look on Todd's face, it was like a ball from left field. He just kind of looked at me kind of wide-eyed. He stood there for a moment. I thought, he's not going to respond. And he said, yes, sir. He said, I'll pray about it, and I'll see if I get the Lord's confirmation. Well, it's over 2 months. I was beginning to think I needed to remind him, hey, you are praying about this, right? You know? And so just out of the blue, he came to me and said, Brother John, he said, I've come to the place where I believe that it's God's will for me that I would put my name forward to follow you here on the Hill. And he said, I want you to know. He said, this is a huge step for me. And I said, I get it. It's a huge step for me to let you even be thinking about it. Todd Kaur has served our church family for 7 years. Two of those 7 years, he has carried a dual role of student pastor and teaching pastor. Every single message I've heard this guy preach, every devotional he has brought in our staff meetings, all the words that have come out of his mouth during staff and elder meetings have only assured me that he not only, number one, has a love for God's word, but that Todd Kaur has a gift of wisdom from the Lord. Todd does not make hasty decisions, and he seeks unity for our church family. Todd has been a sound and a sure voice of reasoning, of reason in counseling me and the elders on church-wide matters, and Todd has a big picture perspective. He thinks of the church as a whole. He has never just totally been focused on student ministry. He's thought about the whole church. Todd Kaur has served with faithfulness. He has been faithful when I felt moved of the Lord to set aside some men to that I would call senior leadership team, men that I drew around me to help give me perspective and help me make decisions. He has served with faithfulness within our senior staff. And Todd Kaur is respected by everyone in our church office personnel, bar none. Because Todd was an internal candidate, and just so that you would be assured as a church family that we were not guilty of nepotism, I didn't want you to think this was a good old boy club going on. The elders and I elected to bring in an outside ministry known as Shepherd Staff. Shepherd Staff did a third-party review of Todd, and they did a 360 review and a profile of our church. They talked to Todd over 12 hours, over a three-week period of time. They spent time with Todd as well as Jennifer. Their whole goal of spending time with him was to provide our church with an outsider's view of Todd's compatibility as a senior pastor candidate. In other words, we hired them for them to be able to say, nonpartisan, we think this guy is a fit, or you need to look somewhere else. During the review by shepherd staff of over 100 of you guys, leaders and staff, our church members consistently shared their desire to see Todd as our next senior pastor. All their work was completed. Shepherd staff gave Pastor Todd a compatibility rating with Harmony Hill of 9.5 out of a possible 10. Here's what I want you to understand. This is the highest compatibility rating Shepherd staff has ever given anybody. And they gave it to Pastor Todd. Two recommendations from Shepherd staff to you. Number one, all four of our assessments reveal that Todd has a tremendous capacity for senior leadership, especially at this church for this season and beyond. Number two, the best course for Harmony Hill is to fully consider Todd Core as the candidate without launching a search for an external candidate. Now, as we put Todd before our church family, which we're going to do, we're going to make available to you these things. We'll give you a copy of Todd's resume, the senior pastor job description, and a summary of shepherd staff profile of our church and their review of Todd Core. We will, in the days ahead, make these available to you here in our church, and there will be one copy per family, so you'll be having that. Now, let me share with you a couple of our plans moving forward. Number one, Wednesday evening, I want you to put this down on your calendar, Wednesday evening, August the 17th, we will meet here in the worship center, church-wide, for a Q&A time with Todd. You can ask him questions. In fact, we'll be asking for those ahead of time so that he can prepare. Number two, August the 28th. Please be in town. If you have plans, I encourage you and ask you as your pastor to cancel them. Sunday, August 28th, Todd will preach, and there will be a vote in all three services by church members only who are at least 18 years of age. And so let me talk to you about onboarding. The elders and I trust and pray that when the time comes to vote, that you will affirm what we believe to be God's leading. Our recommendation from me and the elders is that you will vote yes for Todd as the next senior pastor on August the 28th. Once, God willing, Todd is affirmed as senior pastor, we will start his onboarding process. The elders adopted what we call an intentional overlap. This was my desire. I felt like this was what would fit me the best, and they graciously approved that. During this time, I've committed I will walk alongside of Todd and help him transition to senior pastor. I will provide mentorship and insight to serving what it means to serve as senior pastor on the Hill. So from August, from this coming August, once the vote is done and you affirm that, Lord willing, through the end of the year, 2022, Todd will continue to be student pastor here on the Hill, at the same time working close with me professionally in his development. And our elder team, at the end of August, will immediately begin the search for a student pastor. In January of 2023, Todd will step completely out of student ministry and he will begin taking on senior pastor responsibilities while continuing to work with me in that whole learning process and developing with the elders. Gary Permenter, a beloved guest pastor in the student ministry, has agreed to serve as our interim student pastor. And every young person that I've told this has just like gone ecstatic about that. And so he will be doing that. And he's already agreed to a certain period of time while we're looking for this student pastor. May of 2023, Todd will assume the full role as senior pastor. And I will officially step away from being your senior pastor. Starting June 1st, 2023, I will take a planned sabbatical. It will be an undetermined amount of time. I don't know exactly how long it'll be. And I will transition to the role that the elders and Todd have asked me to do, and that's Pastor Emeritus. Catherine and I will move our offices to the Harmony House. This will provide Todd the space he needs to lead. And the senior staff and the entire church personnel, the time that they need to adjust to a new normal. Catherine and I will continue to provide counseling. We'll be available. I will be to conduct weddings and funerals as approved by Pastor Todd, and do fill-in preaching at his request. Harmony Hill Harmony Hill is Catherine and my church. And you guys will always be our family. So any word that she and I are selling our house and moving to Arkansas is rumor. I am a Texan. I'm not going to Arkansas, not as far as I know. I plan to be here to support Pastor Todd and stand under his authority. There's another person that I would choose, not only to be pastor of Harmony Hill, but to be my pastor. I want to ask you to do some things. I want to ask you, if you will, to thank the Lord for a plan. God has provided for our future and has given us a qualified man that you already know to serve as senior pastor here. Number two, I want to ask you to be good ambassadors of everything that I've shared. Spread the word. Let people know how we're doing senior pastor transition. And I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart that you will strive to keep the unity of the Spirit here on the hill. The greatest signature of any effect that I've had on you will be a smooth transition. Amen. And that we will honor God because our town is watching us. How are we going to do this? And lastly, I want you to remember Todd and Jennifer Core, their girls, and that you would pray for Catherine and I and our family in your prayers. As we have our Q&A on August 17th and we vote on August 28th, my prayer is that you'll see the wisdom in what we're recommending and that you will sense the leadership of the Lord and that you will recommend Todd Core to be your next senior pastor by voting yes. Then as Pastor Todd and I begin this 9-month succession process, I ask you to pray for us that we'll do it well, because my prayer is that the best years on the hill are still ahead. Amen. Right? Amen. All right. I want you to look at your life point outline, if you will. I want to share some things. I'm just kind of bringing this down to a focal point. I want to talk about God's timing in our life. The Lord has laid some stuff before me and just showed me some things, and I want to pass on to you. And so, number one, I want you to understand God has a time, an hour set, and for everything that happens. God has a time set for everything that happens. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heavens. Here's what God says. God says, I want you to understand there is a right time and there is an appointed time for everything. It's what he's worked into my life, and he wants you to understand that. There was an appointed time for me to be born. There was an appointed time for you to be born. There is appointed time for me to be called as pastor here on the hill. And there is an appointed time by God for me to step aside and to take my next step in his call on my life. All those things are about time. There's an appointed time for the life-changing moves that are in your life as well. And that's what I want you thinking about. I think the greatest example of this truth is the birth of Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, 4, and 5, the Bible says this, but when the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own sons. What I want you to notice is the Bible says when the time was right, when it was the right time, God sent Jesus. Look at the truth in your outline. Christmas happened at just the right time. At just the right time. What made the birth of Jesus, when it happened, what made that the right time? We don't know. We don't know why. Why 2,000 years ago? We don't know. Why not later? We don't understand. For his own purposes, God wanted me here for 50 years. And for his own purposes, now he's saying, John, it's time for a change. That's how I sleep at night, having full conviction in that. And I trust you know that you are where you are by the will and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that is super important. That you can say, I know I am where I am, doing what I'm doing, because God has led me in this. I want all my people here on the hill to have that sense of the leadership of God. The fact that you aren't where he sought to lead you can be the source of a whole bunch of misery in your life if you're not right where he wants you to be. And so the question would be, do I know that I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what God wants me to do? The second thing I want you to understand is this. God doesn't reveal the future early. He doesn't reveal the future early. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Now listen, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. I want you to notice that phrase. People cannot see the whole scope of God's work. For me to understand God's timetable, for you to understand God's timetable in your life, is like an ant trying to understand the internet. I mean, you cannot do it. I don't have the brain capacity for that, to understand everything that God wanted to do in my life. If I could understand why God does everything he does, I would be God. It is absolutely impossible to do that, to understand his ways with us. Future information has a capacity to overload our circuits. I don't want to know everything that's coming down the road, right? We don't want to know that. It could scare us to death. And here's the insight. Because of his love for us, God doesn't reveal what we want to know ahead of time. I think back to when you were born again, because that's what I thought about. When I came to the Lord, when I began my walk with the Lord, the only thing I knew, and this was by the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, the only thing I knew was that God revealed to me, first of all, you're not saved, you're lost. And he made that extremely clear. The Holy Spirit came into my dorm room, I've told you this before, and he spoke so clearly to my mind, and he just said, you have never asked me to save you. It was absolutely so clear, clear as a bell. And I remember that day, I'll never forget it, in my dormitory room. I cried out to God, and I said, God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. And I thought back in my life a couple of times when I could have gone out into eternity so easy that I realized I had never asked him to forgive me. I just wound up being in the baptistry, but nobody had counseled me. Nobody had really talked to me about that. And I knew in my dormitory, I knew that Christ had come to die for me, that it was personal with God. It wasn't just that the Lord came to die for the whole world. He came to die for John. That's what God wants every one of us to see. That's why I want you to know that you know that you know that. That Jesus came to die for you. And that day I put my hope of heaven in Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. And I said, Lord, if I've never asked you to save me, I'm asking you to save me now. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Oh God, save me. And so when I got that settled, and I knew it was settled, when I did that, then the Spirit of God revealed his next understanding. He said, and oh, by the way, you've misunderstood. You're not going into dentistry, you're going into ministry. I've made you to be a shepherd of my people. But that's all he told me. God, when God told me that, He did not give me one single clue about where I was going to do that. I had no idea. I just knew, all I knew at that point was, I am called. That's all I needed to know right then. All I knew that was that my next step was to go to seminary. That was God's next plan for me. But I didn't know where I'd wind up preaching. When Harmony Hill called me to be pastor, God told me, this is where I want you. I want you here. And that's all I knew for a certain amount of time. And then God made it very clear when I started getting calls to go here or to go there, to come in view of a call as a pastor there. Then God was ready to reveal his next step for me. And his word to me was, if you stay, I'll bless you. If you stay, stick. And that's all it ever speak to my mind. Wouldn't tell me anything else. Didn't tell me anything else that was going to happen. And if God had revealed the struggles that I was going to face, if he had revealed to me the challenges and the heartbreaks, I'd have probably said, Lord, could we negotiate this? You know. And for the last 50 years, I've known one thing consistently. And the one thing I've known consistently that the Father's put in my heart is that I am not to leave. For his own purpose. This wasn't for me. This was for his purpose. I have made you for this one place. Stay. Now, he doesn't necessarily say that to every man. But to me, he did. This was his will for me. And in God's timetable, he has revealed what was hidden to me each step in my life. And I know that I know that I know that I have come to the time in my life when the Father says, it is time. What I laid on you, the mantle of senior leadership that I laid on you, it is time. I want you to prepare yourself because I'm going to move it from you and I'm going to place it on another. Now you say, well, what's coming next? I don't know. The only thing that I know about my next step is Pastor Emeritus. I know that when the guys mentioned that to me, I was settled in my heart that I didn't believe that I would be going against God's will for my life to do that. But I have no idea what God is going to be asking of me in the months and the years ahead. I don't know. That's the future. And God said, I'm not revealing that to you. And I think there are a couple of reasons why God reveals our future incrementally to us. And they're in your notes. Number one, I think if God told us everything, it would overwhelm us. It would scare the bejeebers out of us. And some of the stuff we would say, could we negotiate that? And then number two, God doesn't reveal because he wants us to trust him. I want you to trust me. And so the truth in your outline, God has a timetable for your life, but not seeing far ahead is normal in a walk with God. If you're walking with him, you're not going to be able to see real far down the road. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So you're just not ever going to know stuff in advance. That's just an understanding. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in your life, much less what's going to happen the rest of your life here on this earth. God has a timetable for our lives, but he doesn't give us the details in advance. Why? Because we need to trust God on this. God says, I want you to trust me, but I want you to know I've got a plan, and I want you to walk close to me so that you can know when I tell you to turn to the right or to the left or when I tell you to be still. Does that make sense? So you keep your eyes open. Number three, God doesn't work by our clocks. God created me and he created you with a plan. And I believe God puts a dream in our heart that gradually becomes clear at the right time. And I believe if there's one thing that the Father wanted me to get across here on the hill is that God has a dream for you. This is clearly taught, I think, in Acts 13:36. For David, after he listened, served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep. When David had served, another version says, David served the purpose of God in his own generation, and then he died. So here's the insight. If you are saved, there is a calling on your life, and you are to answer it and live it out. There's a calling. And the question is, what has God called you to do? What is his calling on you? Because he has one. There's a call for every child of God. Let me give you a couple examples. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? In other words, God said, this is what I want you to do in your life. I want you to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Those are ministries that God calls us to. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so what God is saying is there is this race for everyone. God has put you in a race. This is His chosen path for you. And His word is, I want you to run with perseverance what I have called you to. Whatever God calls you to do, it's going to take everything that you've got, and you're going to have to lean on Him to accomplish it. The only way that I can do what God put me here to do is I stay close to Him. My whole life is about that. Our whole life as followers of Christ is to stay close to Him. Here's what I believe based on God's word. When a man or woman is born again, either at that point immediately or in time, I think a vision forms in every one of our hearts. If we're under the teaching of Holy Scripture, there will be a vision that will form in our hearts, a dream of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in the time of our life here on this planet. The vision is the vision of God of the future for you. What God wants to do through you. It's why God put you on the earth. It's why you're here. Now, in our context here at Harmony Hill, what could it be? I've got some examples. Maybe it is that you are suited and God has called you to lead a life group, because that's how we do ministry here. Right? Listen to me. We have to do life group. We have to. Why? If we don't, the people that are drawn here by the Holy Spirit will become discouraged and they will walk off. Why? Because they feel like nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. Nobody came to help me when I was going through a hard time. Why? Because we did not know. Why did we not know what was going on in their life? Because God has grown and multiplied us, and we have not followed God's plan according to the book of Acts. And that is that we meet together from house to house, and we pray, and we take the Lord's Supper together, and we minister to one another. The only way we keep up with each other is in a life group. We have to have life groups. And what I know God is going to do, the Holy Spirit is going to move on some of your hearts. You are ordained by God. You are called by God to lead a life group. You've got that capability. And so some of you are called to lead a life group. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. You're the one. You need to open up your home. Why? Because you have that gift. And you can open up your home. People can come in and they can learn the things of God. Maybe you're called to be a teacher, to teach in student ministry or children's ministry. Many of us, there are many of you yet who have not started the ministry that comes out of your gifting by the Holy Spirit, a ministry to help the hurting and the needy in our community. We have not impacted the community anywhere near what God wants us to do. Some of you need to surrender, or in the services ahead, some people are going to surrender to full-time ministry. God's going to keep calling people. Or maybe you're going to be moved by God to relocate to a church plant and help build it up. That's become part of our future here. So here's what I ask you. What is the vision, the dream that God has put into your heart? And then let me go to the second part of that. It may be that you've got this dream, this thing that you believe God wants you to do. You're looking for that. But as life goes on, more and more people give up on their dream. And here's the reason why. Because it doesn't happen fast enough. It doesn't happen fast enough. Here's the insight. God is always on time with His provision, His open door. But God's time is seldom, if ever, our time. God is going to lead you, but He'll do it when He gets ready. And the next truth you outline, the God dreams in our heart always, always get battered, bruised, and broken. I look back in Scripture, Abraham struggled. God gave him a promise. I'm going to give you a son in your old age. And Abraham struggled to hang on to that. Even kind of the place where he moved away from that and he sought to fulfill it on his own, which was absolutely disastrous. He misstepped in his struggle and he didn't wait on the Lord. That's a lesson to us. Moses struggled with God's dream to lead Israel to freedom. It was a 40-year struggle. It ended in success, but he had some hard times in that. Joshua struggled to give Canaan to God's people. He had battles with weariness that would set in. And I could talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah and the apostles and Paul. Everyone had to wait to see God's promise fulfilled in their life. It's just according to scripture. Here's the insight. The only way dreams and visions keep alive is when you and I stand on the word. When we stand on the word. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says, the vision will happen at the right time that I have appointed. It moves steadily toward the goal, and it will not be proven false. If it seems slow or delayed, just wait for it. It will certainly happen. It will not be late. God's leadership in your life is going to be by his time. God has a time, and his time is not late. It's at the right time. And here's the next insight. If the dream is your dream, God is not obligated to do it. But if the vision is from him, it will come. Wait for it. Wait for it. What God wants to do in your life. 50 years ago, this November, God said, John, he said, I want you here. And if you stay, I'll bless you. I've chosen you of my own will. If you obey me, if you never leave, I will bless and prosper the work of your hands for my glory. It is all for his glory. This is the church that the Lord has built. Will you say amen to that? It is his doing. And the insight in your outline, there are more works that God would do here on the hill. What's going to be our new work among the poor of Lufkin? What new ministry does God want to bless and prosper through you? And here's why I want to challenge you as a new generation. I want you to hear God's call. And I am asking you, from the heart of a pastor who put in 50 years, I am asking you, stay on the hill. Stay on the hill. Persevere in your faith. Believe and cling to the call of God in your chest. And trust him to build through you a ministry that will change people's lives and usher a lot of people into the kingdom of heaven. Which brings me to my last thought, and that is this: your greatest battle. There were two times when I sought to leave the hill. And I sought to do that because God's promises were delayed. And I got frustrated and I was discouraged. And the truth in your outline, the most difficult place for you to be in life is in God's waiting room. What is God's waiting room? God's waiting room is when you're in a hurry for something to happen and God isn't. That's God's waiting room. And somebody in our church is in a hurry to get married. You're in a hurry to start a family. You're in a hurry to launch a new business or a new ministry, to close a deal, to see the hand of God move in your behalf. And the problem is, God's not in a hurry. God knows exactly what he wants to do and when he wants to do it. Isaiah 60, 22, I am the Lord. So when the right time comes, I will make it all happen quickly. So here's the insight. God allows delays in our lives for two reasons. Delays tests our faith. Are we going to trust him? And it builds our character. It makes us a better man or woman of God. God has planted you where you live for one reason. God wants to bring people to faith. He wants to change lives. He wants to give hope and a good future to people that are living here. And the dream hasn't happened for one reason. You are not ready. God's wanting to do something. There are areas of your life where you need to grow up spiritually. You may need to man up and be a godly man. You may need to be a woman of God that walks with God and doesn't waver, doesn't walk off. That God says, I want you to be to the place to where I can trust you. That when I open up a door, you're going to listen to me. You're going to do what I want you to do. So here's the insight. Discouraged saint, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. And Isaiah 49:8 says, God says, at the right time. That phrase is used about 96 times in the Bible. At the right time. At the right time, I will answer your prayers. At the right time, I will move in your life if you don't quit, if you don't walk off, if you don't back out. If you will stay and stick and do what I want you to do, I will open the door at the right time. So let me close with this. There are two things. Number one, for those of you listening online and those of you here, there's a right time for you to come back home. Come back home to God. There may be somebody listening online this morning and you've wandered away. You're not doing what you know God wants you to do. Now is the time to change your ways. Now is the time for you to come back to God so that God can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessing, and refresh you. Are you where you ought to be, child of God, in your walk with Christ? Can you say, I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do? Are you serving God's vision for you? And here, has COVID knocked you off track? There were some hard times. Did you agree with that? Amen. It was hard. It has been hard. We're so sick of hearing about COVID. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? And the reality is, it's affected us. It has. We need to own that. We need to own it. And just say, Lord, I've gotten off track. Can you say, Father, I am available to help my church home reach Lufkin for Christ? I want to live out my calling. And then number two, today's the right time to be saved. This is the right time to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:6, Jesus gave himself to pay for the sins of everyone. He is the proof that God wants all of us to be saved. And that proof came at the right time. This is the right time. The pastors and I will be at the back. I'll be down here at the front for a few minutes. Our pastors are in our Next Step room. I want to encourage you, if you just want somebody to talk with, somebody to pray with, please go by the Next Step desk and that room. The pastors will counsel you, talk with you, set up a time to meet with you. We won't hold on to you. We'll let you go when you're ready to go. But I hope you'll go by there. Remember these dates, if you will. We'll be, of course, talking about them more and more. Remember about what's coming and the important vote. Make it an important time on your schedule. Would you stand together this morning? We do have something on the screen for you to watch. And so if you will, remain seat back down for just a moment and watch that. Father, thank you this morning for what you've taught us in the Word. There's just been so much to get across, things you put on my heart. And Lord, I pray today that, that God will hear you. The best days for our church are ahead. And Lord, you've already put your man here. You anointed him. We pray, God, that that confirmation will come by your people and that they will agree with the leadership, the elders, that they will see the wisdom in that. And so, Father, thank you for Todd, for everything you've put in him. And may that cause us all to think about our calling and why we're here and what you want us doing. Be our wisdom, and may you find us ever obedient to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated for just a moment, then you're dismissed.